Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us once again. This is number 3 of our series entitled The Life and Letters of the Apostle Paul. Now, last time we left off and we were talking about who is the greatest apostle. And I think if you remember, the answer, of course, was not Paul. And the answer was not Peter or James or John or any of the others, or it wasn't the 12 or Paul. The greatest apostle was the Lord Jesus Christ, as we quoted in Hebrews chapter 3, that we were to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So Christ himself is the greatest apostle. He's the one whom we honor. All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, and it is him that we honor as the greatest of all apostles. Now, back to John 17, we touched upon this last time, but I want to pick up where we left off. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus praying his prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer, John 17, and it says this, verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So what is an apostle? It's one who is sent. He's an official delegate, as it were. Christ was sent by the Father. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we read here in John 17 that Christ sent his 12 apostles to give their message. And it says this, he sent them into the world. And then we go on in verse 21 to tell us why. He says that they, let's read from verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these only, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me." So one of the roles of the apostles was to bring faith and belief, and to believe on Christ, and to see his great purposes. And so this is one of the roles of an apostle. God chose the 12 apostles to fulfill a role primarily connected with Israel. And remember, God chose Israel to be a blessing to the entire planet, and that they were to be a priesthood nation to the rest of the nations. And they failed in that task, and God temporarily set them aside. Temporarily, my friends, this is not, we teach that God is not done with that nation after the flesh. That physical seed of Abraham, they will one day get into their land, and there's nothing you and I can do about it. And we should be grateful that God will fulfill his promises to that blessed nation. Friends, here's a question to ask yourself. If God does not restore Israel in the future, literal Israel, I mean the children, the 12 tribes of Israel, and give them their promised land and resurrect Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and give them their land of promise. If God doesn't do that, what right do you and I have to believe that God will fulfill any of his promises? You see, God saving Israel has nothing to do with just an interpretation of Scripture, or as people call us, dispensationalists. It has to do with the character of God. We believe in dispensational teaching because we believe that God is true to his character and true to his word, and he will fulfill every promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, a couple other thoughts I want to bring up. Paul calls himself a number of things, and usually when we think of a preacher, we think of one who evangelizes, and that's true in one sense, but here, in 1 Timothy 2, Paul calls himself a preacher. 1 Timothy 2, verse 7, let's turn there. Paul says, well, once again, I'd like to back up and give you the context. Starting with verse 1, Paul says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Now, Paul calls himself here a preacher. Some marginal readings say he's a herald, and I think that's true. Paul, I don't think this term preacher is in the sense that we have today, where when we think of preacher, but it's the thought of a word of a herald. A herald makes a proclamation. He does not appeal to others to believe. He has a message, and he proclaims it. That's what a herald is. A herald simply makes his proclamation without any sense of making an appeal to others who believe. So Paul said he's a herald in that sense. Now, there are other passages where he talks about pleading with people to, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 5, which we'll get to in a minute, he pleads with others to be reconciled to God. But here, in a sense, he heralds something. And in 2 Timothy, he has another phrase. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 8 through 12. The verse I want to comment on is verse 11, but I'd like to give you a little context. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And then he says this, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." You hear that, friends? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, by the way, notice what we said in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." If you remember in our first broadcast, we talked about in number one of the series that the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message are bound together. And it's true here. "Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," that's the message, "nor of me his prisoner," there is the messenger, the vessel that God is using. Now it says in verse 10, "but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So Paul says here he's also, again, he says he's a preacher, and it's the same word that we saw in 1 Timothy 2, he's a herald. He's a herald. And again, in this passage here in 2 Timothy, he talks about his message, and he talks about himself as the vessel that God chose for that message. Paul also calls himself an ambassador in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. He says he's an ambassador of Christ. Another passage in Ephesians 3, he calls himself a prisoner in the Lord. In chapter 4, excuse me. And Ephesians 3, he's a prisoner in Christ Jesus. In Romans 15, he calls himself a priest. And so there are many titles that Paul uses regarding his ministry, and we can get into that more as we get into the exposition of Paul's letters themselves. So again, back to our main point. We have a treasure that has been committed, that has been given to us, and God has given it to us through a vessel of his choosing, the Apostle Paul. And there are certain treasures that God has given to the Apostle Paul which we find in no other vessel. And one of those treasures, as we saw earlier, was justification without law. Paul in Philippians 3 says he once was blameless regarding the law, and now he's teaching, and then he said that now he counted these things but loss because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. And so we learn in Paul's letters one of the great teachings of justification, being declared righteous. By the way, justification is more than forgiveness, friends. Never limit the message of the gospel to God forgiving people. Forgiveness is good, but justification is better. To treat someone as just is to declare somebody righteous, which is something better than forgiveness. And we'll talk about that more as time goes on in our teaching. But just something to put in your memory for now. The other thing we learn from Paul that we learn in no other writers, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." And in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." Nowhere outside of Paul's letters do we ever read of a people who are going to have a home in heaven. Only Paul talks about believers having a home in heaven. All the other writers were looking for Christ to return to earth so they can live with him on the earth. Peter, James, John, David, Job, they all looked for that day when the Redeemer would come and they would see him on the earth and live with him on the earth in their resurrected bodies. The other thing we would learn in Paul that we learn in no other writer is the secret resurrection. I know some have mocked this idea, but I think it's in the scriptures. I won't argue with you. But I'm pretty sure that Paul is giving us in his message something that is unique. Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul talks about the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Paul talked about the resurrection that will take place prior to Daniel's 70th week, prior to the outbreak of the day of wrath in the future. And all these things are found in Paul's glorious letters. Friends, we have great truths committed to us through this earthen vessel. We are justified, we have a home in heaven, and we're living looking for that blessed hope. Thank God for it. We'll see you next time.